tinted glass. Welcome to Death Curse Society. It's a whole new episode. I'm your host, Red Crank. I got the Colonel. I got Zigzag. Can I ask what that slow turn at the beginning was about? Because that just kind of happened. Are we possessed?
Could be. Maybe that slow turn is a result of a slow burn.
Ooh, a slow burn turn.
I was feeling a little bit Mama Bates.
Gotcha. That makes a lot more sense now. You remind me of Mama Bates a little bit. Thank you for tuning in. Hope you will follow us on social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, of course, Twitch, and YouTube. Make sure you hit that subscription bell. And you know what? I love a good roller coaster. It's time for Let's Go Camping.
We weren't doing anything. We were just messing around.
Today on Let's Go Camping, we are going to review the latest George A. Romero film, The Amusement Park. It just dropped on Shudder. It's been restored by Indie Select after 46 years of being in storage. They found a print of it. They found decent audio. They remastered it and have released it exclusively on Shudder. Colonel, you're the one with the huge Romero heart on. Give me your thoughts, initial thoughts on The Amusement Park.
Okay, when this was announced, I was like, yes, fucking yes. So we get there, it's launch day. Fuck, I gotta wait a few days to watch this. I wait a few days and not bad for 53 minutes. I mean, I'll be honest, this is the longest PSA you have ever seen in your life.
But like an after school special.
Yeah, it's a long ass PSA, but it's really fucking good. So much to dive into on this. I mean, come on. Does it compare to his later works? Fuck no. We get a 53-minute short film bringing a social commentary the only way George Romero can. It's not bad.
Yeah, this was one that horror fans have heard about for a long, long time and been really disappointed they couldn't see. Ziggy, initial thoughts, and did it live up to the hype?
This was like one of those unicorns back when I was growing up. You know, when I was a kid, they were like, oh, yeah, there's another Romero film out there. It's Martin. No. He did this back then. Amusement park. You know, yeah, sure there is. What's it about? It's about an amusement park. Okay. Yeah. Romero doing it. Oh, yeah. Okay. I'm in. Where is it? No one ever could find it. No one ever saw it. Then a few people started coming out that were close to Romero going, oh, I've seen it. There's a reason why he didn't put it out. Unfortunately, we lose the master a few years ago, and his society decides, in their great wisdom, to remaster this and put it out. I was expecting the worst, I'll be honest. I thought this was going to be just like, oh, Lord. This is literally going to make him turn in his grave. It's not that, man. It is a big, long PSA. It's Romero. It's obvious. It feels Romero. It's obvious Romero, but it's a lot of Romero. It's like Romero extra with the messages and the stuff that he brilliantly wove into his later pieces,
right,
is just dumped on like extra cheese on nachos in this one. Horror, reality horror, okay? It's a good story. You'll get it. You can't, it beats you over the head like a club.
Oh my God, yeah.
It is nice to see something that Romero had his hands on one more time.
Yeah, the story is a seemingly ordinary day at an amusement park turns into a living nightmare for an elderly man. This was not quite a horror film, unless you consider it, like you said, almost a dystopian horror, maybe. Ziggy, since you touched on it, what classifies it as horror for you?
This is society. And even back then, already you're shunning your fellow man for whatever reason, it being old age, color, whatever it is. This is what this is about. That's what's scary is. Something like this could happen this easy. And it's over the top. Like the examples they give you.
When you say over the top, you mean like a cop giving a ticket to bumper car drivers for rear-ending each other? Is that what you mean?
The money is represented by tickets in this park, you know, amusement park and everything. And so everything is just, it's implied, like it's just, it's fantasy world, but very taxing, like real life. And there's lots of obstacles like real life. And it's they weave it in to this fantasy world amusement park. You know, basically an old man. He's just trying to go out and have a good time and fit in, and they just won't let him.
Yeah, much like Zag, it's reality horror. I mean, let's face it, maybe not everybody, but hopefully all of us get to live, are lucky enough to see old age. But that's because the fact you're lucky enough to get there doesn't mean you're lucky to be there. I mean, that's the scary part. This is a reality for majority of senior citizens, especially if you think about nowadays. I mean, this came out in 73. Now we're talking about the boomers, the largest generation this nation's ever seen, and there's a lot of them. It's just sad because it's like you really don't think about it. You know, you see the little lady sitting at the park bench, and you don't know what the hell she's gone through just to get there to that bench. I mean, that's what's scary about it. And also that the fact that the cop gave the old people a ticket, that asshole had his left turn signal on turn right. He was at fault. What the fuck?
He gave the left arm signal.
That's right. Back then, they didn't have fucking turn signals. I'm sorry.
Well, not in a bumper car.
I don't understand this. I don't know these arm signal shit.
Right turn.
Okay, I don't know.
That's stop. That's left turn.
We don't need that shit nowadays, baby. I don't know that.
Now you can drive.
I mean, that's the real horror of it. I mean, it's just, he feels so bad for the guy. Just watching him get shit on. George did what he wanted to do. It definitely made you open your eyes and think. Because, I mean, at the beginning, they even tell you, like, this is what this is here to do. Okay, and boom, like, it's in your fucking face.
Colonel, you kind of mentioned it was like a PSA, and it was even bookended by the main actor, well, the only actor, which we'll get into here in a minute, Lincoln Mazel, where he speaks directly to the audience, telling them, you know, hey, what you're about to see is not necessarily maybe what you're expecting. And then he concludes it with, you know, a nice message about, hey, be kind to your fellow man. It was more heartbreaking than it was horror for me. Now, granted, when I get to be 80 years old, hopefully, then I might think this more horror. Did you find it that way for you too? Was it more heartbreaking than horror?
Oh, definitely. Because like I said, I mean, right now I'm 50 years away from this target audience here. 40, 50 years away. So hopefully that's something I don't have to worry about right now. But it was very heartbreaking, especially one scene in particular. The family's out having a picnic. And you know, he sits down and he starts reading the three little pigs, this little girl, and she's loving it. Picnic's done. Mom's like, clean up. All right, let's go. And he just breaks down. It's like, I can only imagine how, you know, maybe some of these senior citizens feel like maybe in a nursing home. They don't get to see their family that often. They come visit them. They're having a good time. They're like, oh, we got to go. See you later. We're busy. Bye.
Yeah.
And they're just sitting there like, what the fuck? Like, it's really heartbreaking, man.
It was soul crushing, man. Yeah. That scene in particular. Yeah. I remember watching that and just, whew.
That was definitely the money shot of this movie, and he nailed it. And that's, Colonel, that's it. I mean, of the retirement home scenario, mm-hmm. and just getting that 1 hour, whatever it is. The time is not relevant in this universe, by the way. Just everyone getting up and leaving. Okay, got to go. See you next time. You know, maybe. Yeah.
The choice to not use actors in this by Romero, but only volunteers, seemed very risky for this project. How did that work out in the end for you, Colonel?
I mean, I think it worked out great because I think you were getting more genuine reactions where these people aren't acting. They're just reacting experiences they've already had. But I still say it's pretty risky because, you know, they weren't insured. And if any of those people got hurt, holy shit, they would have got sued. Overall, it worked out great. I mean, like I said, you're getting honest, true reenactments almost. I liked it.
Kind of like the Humane Society. No hits were broken during the production of this film. Ziggy, same question. Did that choice work for you, not using actors and just using volunteers?
Well, yeah. I mean, they're at an amusement park. I'm sure a lot of the people were the extras there were just kind of like, hey, we're shooting a movie. If you want to be in it, just, okay, we're going to just walk through the queue line. And this, you know what I mean? A lot of that went down. But volunteers, they all seemed to get it. What was going on with the message? PSA, dude. This runs like, this will take you back to your elementary school, at least if you're my age.
Ooh.
And those reel-to-reel fucking stupid movies we used to watch. And
are you talking about the old sex ed videos you had to watch in school, Ziggy?
not just that, any kind of science, any fucking stupid educational.
The driving videos?
What are you guys talking
about? Yeah, Colonel's too young to remember this.
Yeah, they used to wheel
they
out.
They didn't do that when I was in school.
I get it. They had VHSs by the time you were there. But this, they used to roll out fucking projectors, and you'd hear the whole thing would be going, and that's how we watched our fucking educational science movies, and yes, sex ed movies, and shit. My teacher in sex ed actually, for whatever reason, it was a scene of a kid eating. He had like a chili or something, a bowl of chili, so teacher ran it backwards, so the kid was all, yeah. So, you know, yeah, we're trying to be serious and mature and everything, and here's this fucking idiot teacher busting everybody up.
No, here's something that's going to date me, but it's so funny. So, you guys are talking about these projector reel-to-reels. Dude, I remember when I was in fourth grade. Holy shit, they wheeled in the TV. I was like, man, there ain't no VCR on that TV. She breaks out a fucking laser disc. Whoa. Bam.
It looks like that a lot. Volunteer thing, they mentioned that at the beginning too. And it's funny because the dude's monologue, you think it's going to, he's setting up something maybe sinister, and he's not. He's just telling you what you're about to watch. To me, it seemed like people that were attending an amusement park, and the few that had a couple things to say, they probably got pulled on the side. Here's a hot dog and a Slurpee. Just say this. We're going to do this line real quick. You know, it was no big deal. I don't think there was too much risk there.
Thank you, Ziggy, for the trip down history lane, especially being the only member of the Death Curse Society that is older than the amusement park. Thank you. Appreciate it.
I lived it. I've seen this. I've walked those amusement parks like that. So I fucking remember that stuff. Those rides, those fucking vintage rides. I've been in all of them.
That was cool. And let's go down that for a side note for a minute. Seeing that set from the 70s amusement parks was kind of surreal. And that did take me back. It sounds like it did you, Ziggy.
Dude, the helicopters, man. The roller coaster would have scared the holy fuck out of me at that time. I have to admit, I was about 10 before I got the balls to get on a roller coaster at Cedar Point, Sandusky, Ohio, the Gemini, and then I was hooked. I'll go on anyone anytime from that point on, you know. But in that movie, I appreciated them getting on with the camera and riding the tracks.
Right. And they had, because they had to get the reactions of the old people on there.
Yeah, you know, I mean,
I'll be honest, I'm kind of surprised they got that many old people to ride a roller coaster, you know.
Dude, I was thinking the same thing. That old-ass wooden roller coaster, throwing them fucking old people around on that thing, another one fucking...
Well, and you were talking about the liability issues right. That they may have had. That is a big one, you know.
Yeah, especially if it was like, not to mention Cedar Point again in Sandusky, Ohio, but the fucking mean streak before they took it down. I mean, shit. I was 30 the last time I rode that bitch, and I felt like I needed traction in a back brace. Fucking sucked.
Colonel, it wasn't necessarily your era, but was it cool seeing those old school rides and that setting?
It was, to an extent. It reminded me of a couple amusement parks. Obviously, being from Cincinnati, it is now owned by Cedar Point, but when I was a kid, it was Paramount's King's Island. Way better rides than what this fucking place had. Granted, I know the roller coaster boom's hit and a lot of things changed. I was like, that kind of reminds me of a weaker version of the Racer. It's no Beast. Everybody knows the Beast is the best wooden roller coaster in the fucking world.
Can't dispute.
And that fucking kills me now, man. I'm like, oh, that's when I got old. I'm like, my back. It's hard for me to ride the Beast anymore. But I mean, like all the classic rides, I still love the good, you know, the tilt-a-whirls and the helicopters, and he's going to fucking turn it like this.
Yeah,
that reminds me so much of Coney Island here in Cincinnati, which is now strictly a water park. But it really reminded me of this one cheap amusement park called Americana that closed years around. It was just like the amusement park in this fucking film. Had all those classic rides and one fucking roller coaster. Nice. That place was the best.
Colonel, when you kind of touched on this earlier, a lot of the allegorical themes in this film are not subtle at all, like much of Romero's other works. Do you think that shift in tone helped or hurt this film?
I think it definitely helped it for me because it turned into something I didn't expect. You know, as a Romero fan, it's like, I know his work. I know what to expect from this. This is the unexpected. Okay, this is about elderly abuse. Not really, but kind of.
Not abuse, just abandonment more than anything, I think.
I don't know. That one dude whooped his ass.
Honestly, I found it to be a bit much in certain areas, but I get it. He wanted to make no mistake. This is happening, and we need to address this.
Now, let me ask you guys a question.
Ooh. Right.
Flip the script on this. When you're watching this, did you ever, I know I did a million times, imagine old Romero watching this or even directing it. We all know the George Tunnel, the gray hair with the ponytail and the thick Coca-Cola bottle glasses, his vest on, smoking a cigarette. Like, you guys had to picture him a few times watching this movie. I did.
And I know he has a small role in it, but there was a point in me where I basically envisioned the main actor, Lincoln, as Romero. That's kind of where I took it, especially an older Romero shortly before he passed away. I could see him literally in that role.
That's exactly where I was. I kind of was like, wow, who would have think that in 40 years, this is what he became, really? He kind of looked this way, you know?
Ziggy, do you feel this story is still relevant today? The mistreatment of the elderly? Have things improved or gotten worse in almost 50 years since the filming of this?
Both. You do have a lot more conscious people, I think, that do take care of their own like that. But at the same time, there's just as many that don't. And then some of these even retirement homes and nursing homes, some horrific abuse coming out of these places, reports of thefts and beatings. And that's why I think it's both.
But mainly what I'm saying improved is just the better quality of, you know, medicine nowadays and procedures to extend people's lives. Mm-hmm. So much better now, you know, 50 years later. But man, the treatment of the elderly, I'm telling you, I don't think much has changed. I mean, people can't even afford to retire. Greeting you at fucking Walmart as you're coming in the door. There's so much more we should be able to do for our elderly instead of just, oh, here's your Social Security.
Which isn't enough.
And let's be honest, by the time, you know, we're old enough to get it, we probably won't get it. There won't be anything there. There's more that could be done. It's just sad that 50 years later, you know, the treatment of the elderly and many other issues in this nation are the same. Nothing has fucking changed.
I feel like I want to be more positive about this. The people I kind of surround myself with, or the people that I hang out with, I feel are kinder than the average American. I hope they're doing their part to not shit on the elderly, not shit on anybody for any kind of detriment or difference or anything like that. But I can see some of these situations, such as the "you're too old to drive," the doctor blowing off the woman because she's calling, asking for medical advice for the third time that day. The weird stranger who thought, well, this guy's sitting next to a little girl, he must be a pedophile, and I'm going to verbally assault him for it. Those kind of things. Yeah, I imagine things like that still happen. Maybe not quite as frequently, but it's a very dark, like I said, heartbreaking tale when you get right down into it. And, you know, as we always kind of say, be kind to one another. I don't care who it is. And I said this last night, be kind until it's time not to be kind. Then be a dick if you need to.
So in the words of the great Jackie Moon, everybody love everybody.
That's almost a perfect way to end it right there. So we got to give it a ranking. Ziggy, throw me a number.
As much as it's not a horror movie, it is a Romero movie. I did go right through it and was pretty much, you know, I could feel it. You know, the greats, you can feel their stuff in there, man. And this is no different. Because it is a Romero movie and it was so nice to see something new, I'm going to go ahead and give this 6.5.
You're right. This is tough. I mean, the length of it affects the ranking. The fact that it's really not your traditional horror movie affects the ranking. But the fact it's something new for us from Romero, who is definitely, on everybody's Mount Rushmore of horror directors. To me, Romero, he's in my Sistine Chapel. His finger's touching my finger. Like, that's how high I hold Romero. But like I said, it is short. It's not your traditional horror. It's entertaining. Fuck, this is a tough one. I did not even think of a ranking after watching this, because I was just soaking up that message, like, whoa.
Yeah.
And he really sets out to do what he wanted to do with this. I want to think along the lines of Zag, I'm bump it up just a little bit, because his message was very effective and like a little too in your face. But it's worth a watch. I don't have to give it a 7. Because it's Romero, man. I can't I can't go too much lower than that.
For fans of horror, 35 and up, that actually respect the greats and respect the past films, especially of makers like Romero, Carpenter's early work, you know, the Hammer films, things like that, even the Universal Monster films, you know, the old school ones. People that respect that are going to score this a little bit better than most. As a general horror fan, 35 and down, because of that age difference, I believe, in horror fans. Now, granted, we seem to attract an older demographic. We still like the new stuff, and we try to watch the new stuff, but we give you honest reviews about it. And also the fact that this is one of those weird, barely horror kind of category films. A lot of people will complain about that. So this is going to be one of those that split big time. Because of that, I can't really give it a super high ranking, but I don't want to give it a low ranking either. Because in the end, it's a beautiful film. Like I've mentioned, so heartbreaking and just soul crushing at times. You can't walk away from watching this and not feel something. And if you do, fucking psychopath, get some help, man. So I hate to do it, but I'm just going to go almost middle of the road and give it a 5.5 because it's worth a watch. It's absolutely worth a watch. But did it satisfy my horror needs? No. Did it satisfy my Romero needs? Yeah. It just fell a little short for me, definitely in the horror department. And yeah, sorry, guys. Yeah, this is just one of those we're going to have to differ. But something Colonel said a minute ago made me think of a bonus question. You mentioned the Mount Rushmore of horror directors. If another horror director had done a film like this, let's say Carpenter, what would you see out of that, Colonel? Would you see the same kind of film, or would you see something completely different?
Well, I'd see something completely different. I would definitely see composed by John Carpenter. I'd definitely get a big synthesizer feel for it. You get some killer blue lighting in the dark scenes. That'd be great. I mean, I'm being completely honest here. You asked me.
Yeah.
You know, here's the thing about Carpenter, though. Each one of his movies feels kind of different. It's definitely Carpenter, but he has a different tale to tell. It's mm-hmm. Or George, to me, it's maybe it's because I studied, you know, paid more attention to his movies than Carpenter, where I know the rhythm, I know how it's going to go. Where Carpenter, you'll have like a Halloween, and then we'll say The Fog and Prince of Darkness. Then you get hit in the face with fucking, you know, Big Trouble in Little China and They Live. I mean,
Darman.
Yeah. His movies, each one has its kind of its own little feel, has its Carpenter signatures, but they're just also their own entities, if that makes sense.
Okay. Ziggy, same question. Or who would you, out of the Mount Rushmore of horror directors, like to see tackle a project like this?
Well, you changed the question up.
I'll come back to you.
I will answer it both ways.
Do both, yeah, and then I'll come back to Colonel. Jeez.
Anybody on Mount Rushmore's greatest horror directors would do this completely differently, approach it differently. Results would be completely different all the way around. So yes, it would not look the same or feel the same. And I bet some of these guys would probably go, I'm not doing this. I don't get it. You know, so that's what I think there. Out of the Mount Rushmore of horror directors, who would I like to see? And this is my Mount Rushmore of directors too. It could be different from these two sure. guys. I'm going to bring in Fulci and see what the fuck's going on, how he can make this nonsense just completely madness. That's what I would do. I think he would say, all right, I'm going to need a rubber head on the roller coaster tracks right up ahead with an exploding eyeball and you know, something like that. I would go Fulci.
Okay. Yeah, the shooting water into a mouth game would be more like shooting water into an eye game, probably, if it was Fulci.
Yeah, or zombie, yeah. Even, you know. Or,
right. All right, damn it. I'm going to give it back to Colonel, but if he takes my fucking answer, I'm going to be really fucking pissed. Who out of Mount Rushmore of horror would you like to see do some kind of project like this?
Wes Craven.
Fuck you.
No, I thought I knew that was going to be your answer. I don't know.
It will be, yeah.
No, in all seriousness, at this point, I know we're playing what ifs. I really don't want to see anybody else do it. This is George all the way. Okay. George all the way. They nailed it. Carpenter one would be interesting. I think we would get a little humor mixed in with it, which would be nice, which would have been nice in this one, too.
Starring Tom Atkins.
Yeah, starring Tom Atkins, here to fuck your wife. Granted, I only watched this once, but thinking of the other, your Mount Rushmore of horror directors, I just don't really see any of them making a movie like this other than George.
Yeah, I could see Wes Craven doing something like this if he was still with us. The intellect that he puts into his films, that would be a fascinating story. And I think it would be pretty similar, almost. I don't really see it varying too much. There may be a little bit more horror in it. I think that would be a fascinating thing. Well, that's the amusement park. It's available on Shudder. You can check it out right now. Let us know what you think about it. Was it a fitting Romero film to be released almost 50 years later? We'll see. Maybe there is a reason it was not released in the 70s. Anyway, that's going to wrap it up for Let's Go Camping. Stay tuned. We got more Death Curse Society coming soon. Woo!
And as the late, great George used to say, stay scared.
Hey guys, thanks for tuning in to Monday Maniacs from Death Curse Society. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Stick around.
Everybody's on social media these days. Well, Death Curse Society is too. Look for us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And also, don't forget to look for us on YouTube. We drop videos on there all the damn time, and you don't want to miss it. It's good stuff. Death Curse Society. Find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Woo!
The Death Curse Society has just become an associate producer on the film.
Yes.
Woo! Bravo! Bravo. Death Curse Society, guys, is so awesome. I met the guys, all three of the guys, at Indianapolis last year for Horror Hack. And I met those dudes, and I got to tell you, like, I hung out with them. We took pictures. I signed some stuff. They gave me a T-shirt. It was awesome. They are awesome guys. So super cool. I am so glad to have them on board this campaign and also on board the film. And now they are going to be IMDb credited as producers on this movie.
Thrill me. Thrill me. Thrill me. Thrill me.
Thrill me. You are watching Death Curse Society. I'm Tom Atkins. If you don't keep watching Death Curse Society, I will come and do things to you.
Welcome back to Death Curse Society, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. It's now time for some stories around the campfire. Recently released on Shudder, Caveat is a 2020 Irish horror film written, directed, and edited by Damian McCarthy in his feature directorial debut. It stars Jonathan French as Isaac, a drifter suffering from partial memory loss who accepts a job to look after a psychologically disturbed woman in a house on a secluded island. This was one of those films I had no idea what to expect going into. I even watched the trailer. I still had no idea. And I'm not sure I have any idea after I've seen it. But let's get into it. Colonel, initial thoughts on Caveat.
Let me go to the trailer first. I'm like, okay, so we have a paranormal psychological thriller? After watching Caveat, we have a paranormal psychological thriller? It's like a potluck of horror movies all thrown in together. Like I said, you had a little bit of that paranormal, you had a little bit of the psychological, you had a little bit of the thriller. It's too scatterbrained, okay? Leaves so many questions unanswered. Like, I still have tons of questions after watching this movie.
Yeah, I didn't really know what it was either. I'll say this. They got me when she comes walking in holding the rabbit with the drum. And the fucking rabbit starts playing the drums in like almost like a divining rod or something, or a metal detector. You know, it's kind of silly, you know, but then it's very tense. But then, you know, you start to get into this haunted house, psychological thriller, and it's effective, man. There, it looks great. Mm-hmm. It's super tense. I felt almost the need at times to sit there and kind of, I don't do that, man. You know, I was kind of like, what the fuck? I was waiting for it. And that's the thing. That's the problem I do kind of have with this movie. You do a lot of waiting for things that never quite come to pass. It is a good watch, and I'm sure we're going to get into why it's a good watch.
Yeah, I didn't know what to expect. That first scene that you're talking about, Ziggy, where she's walking around the house with that rabbit doll and the drum, I thought gave me an idea. We were going down some kind of paranormal route, and then we see the brother hire somebody to go and keep an eye out for her. But, oh, it's on an island I forgot to tell you about. It's kind of isolated. Oh, and she's paranoid. You have to basically wear a body leash to keep you from being able to access certain areas of the house, especially her room. That'd be the first thing where I'd be like, fuck this shit, I'm out. You know, no. And the movie would be over, though. But then you have that aspect, and then it's more like psychological, bordering on kind of a torture porn kind of thing, but not too much torture, just restrictions, I guess. Then you have some, like you said, it's supernatural. I love the fact that you call it like the potluck of a horror film. I mean, that's a perfect description for this. Let me ask this question first, because what the fuck was that rabbit? I don't fucking know. Was it a divining rod? Was it sensing evil nearby? Was it just kind of a warning to other characters? I don't fucking know. Ziggy?
Here is a situation where you actually want like a Conjuring kind of universe museum with some explanation of what the fuck this is, because you just do not get it.
No.
We don't know what the rabbit is and why it drums when certain...
Sometimes it just drums.
A lot of the connections are very frayed when they're telling the story. As great as it looks, you just got to go with it, obviously. The whole being chained into the fucking house because she's a paranoid schizophrenic who's afraid of somebody walking in on her when she's sleeping. Mm-hmm. So you see a lot of her like this.
Right.
Long periods of time. There's a lot of things unexplained in this movie that need some fleshing out. Maybe he'll start a new universe like that. I don't know.
No, I don't see that happening.
Hmm.
A low budget caveat universe? No. Colonel, do you agree? No explanation? No idea what the fucking rabbit's about?
Exactly. There's no fucking explanation or anything. I hate to say it. They set it up great with the tension to this movie with the fucking rabbit. And like you said, just drumming. But the sad thing for me is that's the most tense, scariest moment of the movie. That rabbit alone. It's just, what's up with that fucking rabbit? It's so freaky looking. What the hell's going on? You guys want to talk about the fucking human leash? That shit was stupid because there's no explanation. If you explained it a little bit, other than, oh, she's, you know, going to sleep, coming in the room. I said, this bitch gave Daryl Dixon a run for his fucking money. The painting was fucking freaky too.
Yes.
This is earlier. We're talking earlier, the first 10, 15 minutes of this fucking movie. Everything we're talking about now.
I think the rabbit was probably the best part about this movie for me. The performances were good too, you know, because you've got a girl that's clearly off her rocker, for a non-PC term, I guess, excuse me. But then you've also got, you know, the guy, Isaac, who isn't all there either. And there's something clearly mentally wrong with him too, or psychologically wrong with him too, but they don't go into it. I mean, like I mentioned a minute ago, the synopsis says this guy is a drifter suffering from memory loss, partial memory loss. And I didn't really get the memory loss thing at all unless he's been to that house before. But it's not thoroughly explained. I mean, there are kind of very minor allusions to it. But one of our viewers, Lorena, even said, yeah, I watched this movie. I was confused as fuck. What did you think about the performances between Jonathan French as Isaac and Leela Sykes as Olga? Colonel.
Man, I think they both did a great job playing their individual parts. Mm-hmm. But I'll be honest, just trying to pay attention and interact on screen, to me, that just wasn't there. Granted, it's not like there was a role where they had to have chemistry because it was awkward as shit.
Right.
So I guess if you're saying they could play up to the awkwardness, they did. Again, it's a lot of talk with no fucking substance. That's what I felt really hurt at. Oh, well, you did this. Oh, I'd remember if I did that. Well, you did. Oh, but I'd remember. Kind of going back to your point. It's like, you know, like people buy these jeans. They're already ripped and torn, look old.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the person wearing it, male or female, might have some bigger thighs. And they're getting stretched and holding on thin before they fucking snap. This movie was like the stretched part of the pants, just barely holding on, trying to make sense of this. It was just, the performances are great. I mean, the performances were good. It looked great. I had a few complaints about the sounds. There's sometimes where it's just, I feel like I was in the theater. I was watching shit. And I was like, whoa, turn that down to like fucking five.
Yeah, some of the sound effects really hit hard.
Yeah, the performances support this very fine. The story, and the more I think about it, it's not annoying me as much as you two guys. And I don't know, maybe I have my own interpretation of how this movie went down. But as he's starting to remember the details, he actually was there before.
That's kind of what I'm thinking, too.
Well, yeah, you know, and he actually was the guy paid to chain this guy down in the, to put him in the basement, lock him in. Olga's dad.
Or was he a brother?
It is strange how they tell it and how it comes into focus what happened. But to me, they paid him to go there knowing that that guy was claustrophobic, was going to blow his own head off. He did it, and somehow he's this. That's where it gets to be like, this movie reminded me of Memento, because that movie almost runs fucking backwards.
It does.
And you think you have it figured out, and then it's like, oh my God, they go a complete 90-degree turn on you, you know? And it's like, damn, this is not as extreme like that, but the way they give you the details and fill in the plot, it is like that. It gets into this whole cat and mouse thing where she's kind of hunting him for a minute, and that part didn't make sense to me until you realize he's the one that put her dad down there.
Mm-hmm.
That's why this story works for me.
There's also this illusion that this is a game being put together by Olga's brother, Barrett. And it is kind of almost like a continuous cat and mouse game with just new people coming into the house. And how long does it take her to either trap them in the basement or just kill them is kind of where it almost feels like it might have gone somehow. And maybe that started with the mother, then went to the dad, and then went to the guy before Isaac, that I can't remember his name right now, and then to Isaac. Do you think it was a game like that was run by Barrett for Olga's entertainment?
For me, they're just all defective in their own way. Her with her symbols and crazy drawings and the psychological torture, she put him on the brink of suicide anyway. Olga with her whole eye covering and just absolute paranoia, but then she kind of reels it in for bouts for a minute. She makes sense, and she's the one telling him, hey, you did this, and you were here, and look, here's your jacket, and that's not my jacket, and that he realizes it is. I don't think it was a game on purpose. Maybe from his point of dementia and craziness, he was. But the rest of them were not absolutely willing participants. They don't explain his memory loss. They don't explain, there's a lot of things, like why she's in her condition. They don't explain the slight supernatural element that comes into play. Things happen, and when you get to the payoff, or the end of the movie, I guess, is the payoff here, it stops.
Could it be a game? Sure. Could it just been a bunch of random shit put together? Sure. I don't fucking know. Maybe it's a fucking Irish pastime to fucking lock people in the fucking house.
I'd rather just go drinking whiskey.
Fucking movie, though. It did keep me interested the whole time, though. I wanted to know what was going to go down. I was hoping for something spectacular that I'd be going like, yes! You know, that don't ever happen.
But it doesn't.
No, it just looks and sounds. I love that soundtrack, man. I thought that was fucking perfect.
The sound I thought was really good, but I will agree with Colonel a little bit that there were moments where having to listen to the dialogue and then wah, 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 wah. Like fuck me. Neighbors knocking on my door. Like, what are you doing? It's 5 a.m.
I felt like that dude in that fucking old cassette tape commercial. It's getting blown back. Yep.
I had to turn it down a couple of times.
A lot of this, especially close to the third act and in the third act, takes place in almost complete darkness. And it's led with, you see a flashlight a little bit and occasionally the flashlight will shine on a person's face. A lot of times I hate that shit because it doesn't look good. This looks good, though. I really dug this. Did that work for you, Colonel?
Oh, dude, it worked out fucking fantastic. So I'm with you. Sometimes I'm like, okay, it gets a little old. This did not. It was very, very fitting. Spoiler alert. All right, this asshole was locked down in the fucking basement. You see a little sewing. It's fucking ply. It's fucking drywall. Again, I don't know why anybody just didn't fucking kick it out, but whatever. So he's thinking it's Isaac. He's like, I'm waiting for you, Isaac. I'm waiting for you. Isaac's not in the fucking basement anymore. He got out.
Mm-hmm.
He's through the intercom. Hey, buddy, what's happening? You want to get a Guinness? You want to get a pint after this? He doesn't say that. But you get my gist. He's like, took my Lucky Charms. Next thing you know, bam, you're the first bit of paranormal activity you've seen since the beginning of the fucking movie.
Yeah, that's
up. Going around the corner. Look, watch Crank. That.
And that's it. That's all you get.
That's it. But I was like, oh, hell yeah. That's like buying, you know, those fucking mortar shells for the 4th of July. Save them for last. Man, this is the finale. This is where we're going to kick it off with.
Mm-hmm.
And they fucking suck.
And they... they're duds. Yeah.
But no, yeah, the wick.
Or it blows off in the fucking tube, and now you're fucked. Now you got to light it by hand and throw them in the air and see what happens.
We should explain that the spirit or paranormal person that is peeking around the corner at that character is... the mother who has died apparently by being shot by a crossbow because it's stuck in her shoulder at one point and buried in the wall or stuck in the wall. And that's where Isaac ends up getting to where he's trying to saw out and escape. But he finds this dead person, this dead mother in the wall, and he gets so freaked out by her in the wall that he covers her face with his hat. And then as he's sawing along, he looks back over and she's peeking through. She's drilled a hole in that hat somehow and just peeking through. That was some creepy ass shit. And it worked. But did the darkness work for you too, Ziggy? You were chuckling when I asked that question.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of times these guys do these dark shots and Host comes to mind with an effective way to do the darkness, because that was excellent.
Right.
They don't quite go the same way with this, but, you know, he's shuffling around in there. You can feel it. You're in there. And when he's sitting there kind of sawing through that drywall next to this corpse that's sitting next to him, and he just kind of, he does a couple of and then takes the flashlight. He's got to turn and look at her. And he does it several times. And I'm telling you, man, this shit will get to you. I don't even want to say what happens because I don't want it to ruin it, because it is one of the best parts of the movie. My one issue with this corpse, you can't leave the eyes alive like that. You can't. That makeup was perfect, aside from the regular brown-eyed girl eyes sitting right there, full of life, clear or smoky contacts. Just you got to zombie them up or something, make them white. Something would have made that hair stand up material. That's my only nitpick on it, though.
What were some of the questions you guys had about this that were unanswered? Who was that third guy, maybe? Colonel?
Maybe. I'll be honest with you, the main question I have after watching this is, what the fuck was this? I'm sorry. That's the main question. Burning. What the fuck did I just watch? Not the fact that it was disturbing, just the fact nothing was fucking answered. Spoiler alert. I'm going to spoil this fucking movie. I don't care. The movie ends with this motherfucker taking the border collie and leaving.
Yeah, but who is staring at him across the way?
Look at your chick, your Olga.
With the crossbow, right?
She wasn't going to shoot, though. I mean...
Sure?
Positive.
She's still stuck to the chain, wasn't she?
Yeah.
Ziggy, did you have any other questions about this film that weren't answered, that we haven't talked about?
Yeah, like I said, we kind of already went over the, you know, his memory loss. To me, they explained who the guy, the suicide, and to me, gives her just cause in hunting Isaac. The brother gets taken out by the ghoul. And then for me, it would have been great if they'd gone right to that scene of the ending with him standing there with the dog and he's looking like he's on his way out. And all of a sudden, crossbow hits him right between the eyes. Perfect ending. They didn't do that. They just kind of have a Mexican standoff between Olga and Isaac and it goes to black. It's implied maybe after the lights went out, she plugged him. But most likely, they went and had a pint, got him some Alpo, stuff like that.
got him some Alpo.
I still dug this movie, man. I thought, as goofy as it is, it did have more of a complete story than some of the other chum we've been watching the last few months. And it's effective. The production directors, the sound engineers should be commended. And I would love to see more from this director. I want to see where they could give him some money. This guy shot this movie out of his own pocket and then worked a 9-to-5 job to pick up the incurring costs that he got along the way. To produce this off of that, off of nothing, what's he going to do when they give him some money?
Since you started us down that road, give us your rating, Ziggy.
If a couple of more of the scares had paid off a little bit better, I think I probably really scored the hell out of it. I want to give it a 7, but I can't. I'm going to go with 6.5.
Again, we all mentioned it. Looks great. Sounds great for the most part. Acted great. Scary ass fucking drumming bunny. Okay, maybe they kind of explain his memory loss a little bit, but there's so many more questions to go unanswered. That alone, I can't rank this as high as it probably would have been. I will admit, there was one point I was so jaded by The Conjuring, watching those constantly. There's one scene I was waiting for something to be in the background. There was nothing. I was a little disappointed. I was been trained to be Conjuring-fied. I need to get that out of my brain. That being said, I'm still going to give it at least, I'll give it a 6. I mean, I did find it entertaining. They're just based on the look, the acting, the sound. It looked very professional, looked really good. And it wasn't a terrible story, just as unfinished.
Yeah, I think an extra 20 minutes with some explanation would have benefited this movie tremendously. Even if it was like an exposition, like Olga and the brother are talking near the end of the movie before he's taken. And maybe they're just almost Bond villainish way explaining what they're doing and what all this shit means. We didn't get that. Colonel, you pretty much said every goddamn thing I was going to say to wrap this up. So, yeah, I'm just going to give it a 6 and call it good because that's exactly the way I felt. Caveat is available now on Shudder. You can check it out. Let us know what you think in the comments below. And if you've got explanations, please send them our way because we'd love to hear your interpretations of this because this one, it's still bumping in our heads and we can't figure it out. Stay tuned for more stories around the campfire coming soon. Woo! Welcome back to Death Curse Society, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for tuning in. We've got another trailer to watch and this next, stories around the campfire. Another one that's going to be released limited in theaters on June 18th and then later on video on demand, it's Gaia, another environmental horror film. Check this trailer out, and then let's try to figure something out and talk about it.
I saw something out there. Someone.
The largest organism on the planet lives right here. Growing. Waiting. And it's ready to spread.
Safe for now, any boys.
V.
Hot.
Een trop ape, 3 brandende berg uitklim om weg te kom van die vloedwaters wat hulle wil verswelg. Een swarm springkane wat om die aarde vlieg, al sneller en sneller. En jy, dink jy kan hulle red?
En dit is jou God.
Sy was hier lang voor die ape begin drome van gode.
Another darling on the festival circuit. This was a official selection from South by Southwest this year. It's Gaia, And Colonel, let's start with you on this one. What do you think of this?
Gaia. I don't know. I was going to say Gaia three times. Yeah, I'm kind of digging this. Again, another British film. There's a trend here I'm noticing, and I'm okay with it. Something different.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to get a witch of the woods, a woodland creature, and vines growing everywhere, mushrooms popping up. I'm kind of digging this. I'm like, I'm interested. This is kind of more up my alley than, you know, the last couple trailers we've seen in movies. I'm like, okay, good creature feature. I'm all in. Don't fuck this up.
Is it a creature or is it an organism that infects other creatures and adapts them somehow, though? That's what I was kind of getting.
It's still a creature nonetheless.
Sure, but you sticking with that?
I'm sticking with it.
All right. Ziggy, initial thoughts on Gaia?
Yeah, it looks interesting. Out in the woods, lots of fucking gnats and bugs flying around. That's annoying the shit out of me already. Just like making me go, ugh. You know, it's going to be one of those ones you're going to be going while you're watching it. Who doesn't like the revenge of the forest taking down man? But man, that CGI creature looked weak. I got to say, wasn't impressed by that at all. Hopefully that's not something of a trend with this movie. We will see. But yeah, you got me where I want to see it. It looks like it could be something kind of cool and different. Hopefully.
A park ranger takes shelter with two survivalists after an attack by mysterious creatures in a primordial forest. That's the synopsis for it. This one reminded me a lot of the trailer for In the Earth. There seemed to be a lot of almost hallucinogenic visions going on, along with some kind of creature or infected being coming around. But yeah, I still want to see In the Earth too, because I've heard great things about that. I'm not sure exactly what environmental horror is or if I'm a fan yet. Ziggy?
The filmmaker's message is going to be, you know, yep, you killing the forest and the rainforest, you're cutting the trees down and killing off the animals. Well, now this is the only way they can fight back is to make a movie about the plants and the trees and the animals taking out the evil human Homo sapiens. It's an easy premise, so that you won't have to waste any brain cells on it, but it does look like there is some magic mushroom, I guess, for lack of a better term, elements to it. People are going to be tripping, hopefully turning on each other with sharp weapons, that kind of thing. We'll see. We don't really know. It does look like it's going to be a fun ride, though. We've been dead wrong on these, but at least that trailer gives you enough without telling you everything.
Yeah, definitely. So are you a fan of environmental horror?
How about environmental scenes? Evil Dead?
That doesn't count.
No?
No. Colonel, how about you?
Really thinking about it, I went to say yes, and then my gut wrench instinct, oh no. But, I mean, it makes sense. I think we should all have a little bit of a fear when it comes to environmental horror. I mean, our most basic horror, I mean, it's where all of our fears began, was out in the forest, out in the world, before, you know, we outsmarted every animal that we could and killed the ones that we really need to kill off. And I do like this take on, you know, now Mother Nature fighting back, because let's be honest, we kind of fucked this planet up pretty good. And it's amazing how fast Mother Nature took back over when COVID first hit. If we all remember this, and everything everywhere is shut down. Next thing you see fucking dolphins swimming up the fucking canals. And wow, like this planet will recover pretty quickly once we're fucking gone.
That was something I was going to bring up, was the beginning of that and the return of like some organisms and creatures and animals that had been gone. The fact that the ocean, you know, got cleaner for a little while, bluer. There was one where you could literally see the bottom of this lake for the first time in 50 years. There were a lot of instances like that were going on at that time. And here we are back open again, fucking shit up. Driving around, getting 6 miles a gallon and choking down cheeseburgers in the original styrofoam containers.
Headlights made out of baby seal eyes.
Sorry, Dennis Leary. I had to borrow a couple of things there. I think that's a good way to end it with Dennis Leary. So there you are. Gaia coming to theaters June 18th on a limited basis. And then as soon as it's on video on demand, we'll let you know. We're going to check this one out because I think this is the one so far that's got our interest. Let us know what you think in the comments, and we'll be back with more Death Curse Society.
Has been harder than a great redwood tree.
Never, ever, ever, under any circumstances, say, I'll be right back. Because you won't be back.
I'm getting another beer. You want one?
Yeah, sure.
I'll be right back!
Thanks for tuning in to the official Death Curse Society podcast, gang. Did you know we also have a website? Well, God damn it, we do. DeathCurseSociety.com. Get over there. Check it out. Look at all the stuff we've got. We've got all our YouTube episodes on there. We've got a membership program. We've got our store. You can buy some cool-ass shit. So get over there, DeathCurseSociety.com, and check it out. Woo!
Welcome back to Death Curse Society. Thanks for tuning in. It's time to get deep, super deep, with the next story around the campfire. You see what I did there?
You went balls deep on that joke.
I don't want to scare anyone, but I'm going to give it to you straight about Jason.
Hey, come back.
All right, so let's check out the trailer for The Super Deep, coming to Shudder on June 24th. The synopsis is, the Kola Super Deep borehole is the largest Russian secret facility. In 1984, at the depth of more than 7 miles below the surface, unexplained sounds were recorded, resembling the screams and moans of numerous people. Since these events, the object has been closed. A small research team of scientists and military personnel had gone down below the surface to find out the secret that the world's deepest borehole was hiding. What they have found poses the greatest threat that humanity has ever faced. Now the future of the world is in their hands. Oh, yeah! I'm so glad we have the Russians to trust on this. Check this trailer out, and we'll be right back.
We've studied outer space more than the Earth.
What happened? Where are the others?
Everything is just like in a regular shaft. But later on, you'll see what we actually created here.
USA.
That's enough. Yeah, fuck them Russians. The trailer for The Super Deep. Ziggy, get into it. What do you think about this?
What are you Ruskies doing down there? Three things hit me right away. Day of the Dead, aliens, and The Thing. Three wonderfully beautiful things, and if they used any part of these in this movie, I think I'm going to be happy. This looks kind of creepy and cool, man.
Dude, I'm a zag. I'm like, okay, this looks fucking good. Again, Day of the Dead, The Thing, aliens. This is up my alley. You don't know what's down there. That's the best part. They don't give it away. Who knows? I'm thinking it's the offspring of Putin fucking a bear. We shall see. I mean, maybe his horse, because he likes to ride horseback fucking shirt off quite a bit.
That was my next question. When he fucked the bear, was he shirtless?
Of course.
Okay, just checking. I don't know. Was the bear shirtless?
Believe it or not, it's a bear born without hair. They named it Fuzzy Wuzzy.
No.
Okay. No?
You guys are both wrong. It's that band Gorky Park from the early 90s that came out of Russia. I think that's what it is.
I'm just glad there's not somebody here with a terrible Trump impersonation that wants to chime in on this conversation.
Putin barebacked me 100 times. It was glorious.
Oh, God. Ziggy, I've missed your impersonation so much now.
Yeah, I was not in Russia with Putin and the bear. I did in the corner. I got a video. I did see it. It did happen, but I was not there. That I can tell you.
Honestly, I'm really hoping this deep-ass tunnel is super hard to take super serious because it's super deep. I'm not expecting anything super deep from this movie other than them going down in the ground. I'm really hoping somehow this tunnel leads to fucking Chernobyl. Granted, I'm pretty sure 1984 is before Chernobyl happened. But I'm not going to get that. I'm not going to get mutated fucking zombies or anything like that. I don't think. But that's what I'm looking forward to the most is I don't know what's down there and I got to find out.
This is another one of those kind of based on a true stories. But yeah, this one looks like they're taking many liberties with this because I don't think the Russians have been back since they heard those sounds. They were just like, one of my favorite things to say, fuck this shit, I'm out. But those are good comparisons there, Ziggy. The Day of the Dead, Aliens. I definitely caught a little bit of The Thing for sure. And I can see the other two now that you say that. So bring it on. Shudder? We got to throw some love at Shudder every now and then.
Do you think we were paid by Shudder, which we are not?
We are not, but we are available for negotiations, Shudder, if you're listening.
Shudder, we appreciate you.
Abso-fucking-lutely. The Super Deep, terrible name, but it drops on Shudder June 24th. Let us know what you think in the comments. Are you looking forward to this film? It sounds like we are.
I must break you.
I must break you.
We got more coming soon. Are you going to throw in a Dolph Lundgren reference?
If he dies, he dies.
If he dies, he dies.
Thanks for coming back to Death Curse Society. It's time for yet another story around the campfire, but I can't show it to you unless you tell me to. What? All right, we're going to take a look at the trailer for My Heart Can't Beat Unless You Tell It To. Yeah, sounds like a stupid title. I don't really get it. But Dwight and his sister Jessie reach a crossroads over what to do about their younger brother Thomas's mysterious illness. The increasingly dangerous task of keeping him alive weighs heavy on sensitive Dwight. And as a fiercely private and close-knit family unit, Thomas and Jesse depend on him and the rituals they've learned in order to keep their secret. Dwight yearns for another life, but Jesse will stop at nothing to keep her family together. So check this trailer out, and then we'll talk about it right after.
You know, I was thinking maybe we could all go out sometime.
Where would we go?
Anywhere.
There's no one out at this time.
Not here.
Not anywhere.
No, that's not true.
Listen, that's not happening. Do you have any idea what we do to get that blood?
I thought you said this was a shelter.
It is.
Looks like a house.
I could keep doing this.
He's our brother.
He's sick. We shouldn't be doing the things that we're doing.
We can't do it without you. It has to be the three of us together.
Would you get me some blood?
You really should try smiling.
Do you ever think about going somewhere else?
Tomorrow you go out again.
Would you like to play a game?
Wait!
I don't want to be sick.
Coming to video on demand June 25th, My Heart Can't Beat Unless You Tell It To. Long title, Colonel.
What is the title again?
My Heart Can't Beat Unless You Tell It To. Nine words.
Nine? Long at an exclamation point, make it 5 and 5, make it 10.
You're a dick.
I know. I'm intrigued. Is this a vampire movie? Seems like it might be.
Maybe.
But is it some kind of weird, rare disease where he just, for whatever reason, has to consume blood? I don't know. Is he going to tell his sister, let it drip on my bird chest when he puffs his chest out, let blood drip on him or some weird shit? I don't know. Because this seems like this movie could be totally fucked up. I don't know which way it's going to go. I kind of like it like that. Like, okay, let me see what you got.
There's a little bit of weirdness in the trailer, but it doesn't give you a whole lot. So bring it. Bring that weirdness on. I'm looking forward to this. And is he part cat? I like the way he just pushes that bowl off the table and watches it go, kind of like an asshole cat would. Ziggy, what did you think of this trailer?
Came out with one word, disturbed. Something about this, I don't know what it is. It's almost a turnoff in a way. It's into the kind of, I don't like that kind of thing. But I really can't wait to watch this because it does seem like they captured a good struggle here. I don't think he's a vampire, man. That would be too fucking easy for this kind of story. This guy's got something wrong in his mind that makes him think he needs to drink blood. I love the line. Do you know, have any idea what we have to go through to get that blood? That is powerful. Her staring down at fucking Karen in the fucking cafe. I love that. So, yes, I want to watch this fucking movie and see just how demented and deranged, how far they'll go to deliver that family bond and deliver that blood. Let's see what they got.
This is why I like what we do. It takes a little bit of work to find some of these trailers, find some of these movies. No, they're not all grand fucking slams. A lot of them are pretty fucking good. And we found some gems over the last year, 2 years, almost three. Go team. And this one is one that I'm looking forward to, probably the most out of all these. And the strange thing about that, it has one of the stupidest titles of all time.
Yeah. If there's one thing I would change, that title is not that good, man.
This is the one that's really got my interest piqued out of what we're watching right now. And if it lives up to my expectations, I am going to love the weirdness in this and in getting to know this family. And although it may be unusual for an outsider to watch, this is commonplace for them by now. And it's just them going through the motions. And okay, it sounds like they got to get blood for this kid. Who knows where they get it? Does it have to be fresh? Does it have to be warm? Can it be stored in a fridge or a freezer? I don't know. There's going to be some weird layers to this. And this is one of those onions I cannot wait to peel.
This movie screams addiction to me. Kind of curious how that's going to play out and see if my gut instinct is right here.
I did see the track marks all over his arm too in that trailer.
See, I didn't even notice that.
Yeah. Hmm. So you might be onto something there.
That
but it could be boiled skin, too. I didn't really dwell on it too long.
Coming to video on demand June 25th. Check it out. My Heart Can't Beat Unless You Tell It To. Are we wrong? Completely wrong about what we see in the trailer here? Let us know in the comments below. And stay tuned for more Death Curse Society. Coming soon. Welcome back to Death Curse Society. We've got some more stories about the campfire. More.
Ye booshki hooky derp. Bork.
I don't want to scare anyone. But I'm going to give it to you straight about Jason.
Hey, come back.
All right, my ode to the Swedish chef was because the next trailer we're looking at is a Swedish film. It's called The Evil Next Door. New to her stepmom role, Sheeran moves into a duplex with her partner, Frederick, and his son, Lucas. The new home feels like the right place to start becoming a family, but when Frederick leaves for work, strange things are heard from the other uninhabited side. Also, who is Lucas's new friend? Check this trailer out that you've probably seen 100,000 times before, and we'll be back to talk about it.
Den förra ägaren, de renoverade ju huset.
ho nobutat po na.
Då berättar han för alla om sin reaktion.
Det är inte bor någon pojke här bredvid, va?
Nu kommer jag!
Lukas.
Hej! Då har Alpa gått igen.
Just det, precis. Och det är de som har köpt Peter och Jennys gamla hus. Du vet vad som hände där, va?
Huset.
Det är något så jävla konstigt som händer här.
Han har gjort.
Vad vill han, Lukas?
So pretty much the biggest difference in this trailer and other families moving into a haunted house movie is that it's Swedish. Am I wrong, Colonel? Initial thoughts.
You're not wrong. And also, I could be wrong here, but I'm pretty sure this is the first case of moving into a townhome that is haunted. Two positives right there, something we've never seen. Before we get started, though, yes, this movie is Swedish. It's from Sweden. I've been infatuated with this country for quite some time. I think it all began with Drew Barrymore's terrible portrayal of a Swedish receptionist in Wayne's World 2. And that made the colonel, a very young colonel, very happy, that one particular scene. Yes, fast forward to now, three of my favorite bands are from Sweden. You got Amon, Avatar, and Ghost. That doesn't matter, because we're not talking music. We're not talking young Drew Barrymore. We're talking Evil Next Door. Other than it being from Sweden and in a townhome, been there, done that. Like, it literally was groundbreaking here. Hopefully it's a fun paranormal movie, but what worries me, just I can't do two things at the same time. I'm really worried I'll be focusing on the subtitles and I'm going to miss something very important in the background. That is my biggest fear with this movie.
You know, you want to say it. Who's done this before?
Simpsons did it.
There you go. Thank you. Ziggy, how about you? Initial thoughts on the trailer?
Initially, what came to mind watching this trailer was, I'm just setting the bar really low on it just because, man, God damn it. We've been there, done this. Sweden, fucking American, Canadian, anything, British. This just looks like a retread of all of them. I don't expect to see anything new or special that will add to this type of movie. I'm going to watch it, but oh boy, I'm not looking forward to it. I just, nothing grabbed me. The trailer for Caveat, you know, that had me. There was something there. I didn't get any kind of feeling watching this trailer. Nothing at all. Hope I'm wrong. We'll see.
I assume you guys have seen the meme that's floating around on Facebook. It starts by saying something like, oh, this house has been haunted for generations. And then the photo below is like a family of five, like moving in, carrying boxes, like all smiles and happy. This is one of those tropes, horror tropes. This has been beaten to death. Now, my question is, can The Evil Next Door bring something new? Fresh? I doubt it, but I'm hopeful. The fact that it is a Swedish film does pique my interest a bit, but that's about it. I'm sorry I keep doing these bad things, but it happens. Bark, bark, bark. That's the only thing that's really drawing me in. I hadn't even thought about it being like a duplex or a townhome until you mentioned that, Colonel. So that's also new. Any other hopes?
Dude, I'm with you, though. I'm just hoping, since it's a different culture than ours, it does bring some new... bring some life into it, I guess you would say. I just want a breath of fresh air. Like I said, you guys know, I bitched about this earlier. We just fucking marathoned all the Conjuring movies. I am paranormal fucking out. Like, I do not want to watch another paranormal movie for another fucking 2-3 months. But I can't, because this shit is what's getting released. It's here. Just please give me something new. I know I'm not going to get a breath of fresh air like a Train to Busan, but man, hopefully I'm wrong and this is that version for, you know, the haunted house.
Yeah, I agree. And really, the one and only thing I really do know about Sweden is...
How the hell did you do that?
Well, let me tell you something. Many of your finer nudie films come from Sweden. Well, after you see them 400 or 500 times, the stuff starts to sink in.
So there's that at least, right?
Hell yeah. John Candy's never been wrong a day in his life.
No, he hasn't.
The Evil Next Door. It's on video on demand on June 25th. Check it out. Let us know what you think. Is it the same old bullshit? Or are you going to get something new from the Swedes?
The Swedes? Sounded kind of German.
We've pissed off a lot of cultures today.
Because we're the USA, USA. Arrogant pricks we are.
That's it for Stories Around the Campfire. We'll be back with more Death Curse Society. Stick around, ladies and gentlemen. Woo!
Swedish meatballs.